I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hello there. This is Joel Dusha, acclaimed podcaster and Sans Pants Radio's most eligible bachelor, here to tell you that plumbing the Death Star cannot be stopped, and as a direct consequence of that fact, are performing a live show at the Comedy Republic on June 5th. That's right, a live podcast featuring some of the worst brains in Australian podcasting. Joel Dusha, Joel Zammit, and Jackson Bailey will hit the stage on June 5th at the Comedy Republic at 6:30 p.m. to entertain you with all of the terrible thoughts and horrible nonsense pouring out of their filthy mouths. You can buy tickets by simply heading to the show notes below and clicking the link to the Plumbing the Death Star Cannot Be Stopped live podcast, or you can simply head to the Comedy Republic website. Either is fine. Tickets are moving very quickly. Like, we haven't sold out, but it's looking like it's going to happen, which is frankly a shock to me and everyone that I know. So if you are waiting to the last minute, I would recommend purchasing your tickets now. Plumbing the Death Star, live episode, Comedy Republic, June 5th. I will see you there unless you don't come, in which case, shit.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're talking about Duke Nukem World Tour and other games.
Oh yeah. Yeah, classic. What a shock. Jackson Bailey playing Duke Nukem.
Yeah, it's kind of the sort of thing where you're like, how's it taking me this long? So, you know me, boys.
Yes.
We've known each other for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one could argue.
Mm-hmm. And one thing you know about me probably is that I when I'm picking my game of the year, there's a kind of narrow range.
That you like to pick from.
Yeah. I like to pick from.
Yeah.
Those are where I find the games that I enjoy. And I don't own a Nintendo 64, so I thought to myself, well, what Nintendo 64 games are available on the Nintendo Switch? Mm. And I've already played Turok 2. Turok 1 is available, but I was like, well, I can't pick Turok 1 after picking Turok 2. Come on. Pod Racer, obviously, already played.
Yeah.
Doom 64, but... Doom's sort of Joel Dusha's territory.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't want to, you know...
Stay in your goddamn lane.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to, you know, get on his turf. And then what did I see? What did my dirty little filthy boy eyes see?
Just beady little peepers.
My horrible little bright red, no pupil rat eyes see. But Duke Nukem World Tour. For the Nintendo 64, for the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, so... Duke Nukem World Tour, if people out there are like, that doesn't sound
yeah, I don't
super
remember that game.
Familiar. It's actually Duke Nukem 3D, the 1996 game.
Oh.
But remade.
Yeah. Oh.
The 20th anniversary edition.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
remade. It's like a remaster.
It's a remaster, and it includes an extra episode, because it's the game is sort of separated into five episodes, I think, each of which contains 5 to 10 or 11 levels or something like that.
Okay.
And so the fifth one, Alien World Order, which I've yet to play, has been added by the 20th anniversary edition. Now, Duke Nukem, it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
You play as... The titular Duke Nukem himself.
Is his name Duke, his or name is it a title?
No, his name is Duke, and and his name is Nukem.
Okay, so he's not like the Duke of Nukem.
No, but that would be awesome. No,
that would genuinely be incredible if that was the case. There... Alas, it is not. His name is Duke.
Yeah, his name is Duke. There are two moments in this game. So it's your basic Nintendo 64 first-person shooter.
Uh-huh.
Everything is pixelated. The enemies are on a 2D plane, which is a nightmare. Yeah. So it's a pixelated, it's like an image, effectively, that will turn to face you on a 2D plane, but it can also be in such a way that you can miss it because it's become invisible because it's on a
It's like Paper Mario.
Yeah, it's like Paper Mario. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
So, because there's sprites on a 3D plane.
Yeah, sprites. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, so there's sprites on a 3D plane. So you'll be like, I'll hit this guy and he'll turn and your bullet will just go whizzing right past him because he's like
paper
an inch thin now. Yeah, which is a nightmare. The enemies so far, I've only completed the first level, which is called LA, or the first episode, which is LA Meltdown.
Is that just what is... Pig cops.
So pig cops and lizard guys and then big heads in the sewer. Yes. Who go, bah, bah, whenever I see them.
What has happened to make LA this?
The aliens have invaded.
Yeah, okay. There's an alien invasion.
Yeah, there's an alien invasion.
Keep up!
The second episode, which is set on the moon, I've just started recently, starts with Duke saying, they can't take our women. And then he goes to kill the aliens because the aliens are kidnapping women and putting them in goo. There's two moments in this game that I think really exemplify my experience playing it. The first, which I've already brought up for you because it was so shocking, is you find a woman trapped in goo, and she says, kill me. And I'm like, what am I meant to do? So I press the interact button, nothing. I go up to her, I walk around her, nothing. And then I'm like, I guess I gotta kill her. So I kicked her to death.
Yeah. Did you have to kick?
No, I could have shot her with a gun, obviously, but that would use a bullet.
Oh.
I kicked her to death.
Jacob's not a game where bullets should be.
It can be.
No, it shouldn't be.
Because the pistol is piss weak. Yeah, and the shotgun, you run out of bullets pretty quickly.
Why wouldn't you just use the pistol then?
Because it takes forever and the guys will kill you like that.
No, but.
Oh, on the dead lady.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I suppose so. Then the other moment is in the last level of LA Meltdown, which is called The Abyss, which is like a big cliffside sort of area. So it's a lot of like running along thin ledges and then falling down into the sewer below and having to climb back up. Anyway, nightmare, right? So confusing to navigate. And
Turok 2-esque?
Well, Turok 2 is better, frankly, because in this... It took me until like the end of the level to realize there'd actually been buttons throughout the level, which were little handprints that I could press. But they were so like just looked like part of the texture of the map that I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah. I could never find them. Anyway, one section of the map just gets a red tint for some reason, which makes everything even harder to see. And I'm like, where am I? What am I doing? I've been trying to figure it out for like 10 minutes. And then I see a little handprint. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, I know where I got to go next. I press a button. Little cave opens. Walk down the cave. See a fire in the distance, nude lady dancing around it, and some health pickups. And that's all it was. And I was like, Duke's like, holy shit, what is this? And I'm like, Duke, I want to know where to go. I don't care about this.
So he's on the moon.
No, this is still in LA.
Someone in LA. So there was just a lady...
Presumably,
dancing.
It was a special treat for the player of Duke Nukem World Tour to find the titty lady in a cave.
Was it a special treat?
No, I was so annoyed because it wasn't where I needed to go next, and I had enough health.
I'm just trying to think through the world of Duke Nukem, where what would possess someone to be like, I'm going to go into this cave.
She seemed like a cave woman in that she was wearing furs and dancing around the fire.
You just said she was nude. Make up your mind.
Sorry, she was not nude. She had like a fur bikini on.
Classic.
Yeah. She was cold.
Yeah. Warm. Share the fire. The second level is the red light district, which includes the strip club. In the strip club, you can give women cash and they will sometimes open up their shirts to reveal their breasts, but most of the time they do nothing. And I get that in the 90s, this must have seemed really cool, but now it's just like Duke giving cash for no reason. I don't know. Something about it's sort of sad. Duke's like, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, that's right. As he just pours cash upon cash upon cash into someone who doesn't react at all.
Supporting sex workers.
Yeah, I mean, good on you, Duke. Good on you.
Plus there.
Yeah, yeah. The sex workers as well, the strippers, they keep dancing.
Hey, that's
you
good.
Fight the aliens, they don't bat an eye. They just happily continue on dancing away, which, you know, God bless them.
Yeah, really. Living their best lives. Yeah.
You know? So you have a bunch of, I guess, power-ups, you could call them.
Uh-huh.
You can get a jetpack. Which
I would call that a power-up, yes.
Well, what about the holoduke, which lets you put up a duke that achieves nothing, like a holographic Duke Nukem? Yeah,
distraction, sure.
No. You would imagine.
Yes.
But every time I've put it up, it's done nothing. I don't know if I'm using it wrong.
I would...
But what am I meant? So I put up the holoduke. Right, I'll give you an example. There's a section where there's like a corridor that turns left, uh-huh. right? And when it turns left, there's a pig cop waiting there with a gun.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm like, well, he keeps killing me because if you're close, they use shotguns. If you're close to them, it's kind of yeah. often a one-hit kill. I'm like, well, I'll put up the holoduke. He'll shoot the holoduke.
He'd give you some time to...
No. I put up the holoduke. I turn around a corner. He doesn't even look at the holoduke. Shoots me in the head. So I'm like, what's the function? What's the point?
He's like, I know what that is. That's a holoduke.
That's
a fake
not
Duke.
You, Duke Nukem. I just saw you put it up in the corridor.
Don't try and trick me, a wily pig cop.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you with my shotgun.
A really great feature.
Uh-huh.
So there's two really good features.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. First feature, you press Y, sometimes Duke just grunts. I don't know why. You press Y, he'll go, ugh. I don't know why. Y is the interact button, and sometimes you press it and to open a door, and sometimes you press it and nothing happens.
Uh-huh.
But more often than not, you press it and Duke goes, ugh. I don't know why.
Remind me, because I think I remember playing Duke Nukem on a Windows
yeah.
It's this
computer.
One.
Mm.
Can you piss?
There, yes, you can piss. If you find a toilet,
yes,
you go up to it, interact, you piss in it,
yes,
which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And the other feature, which is genuinely really good, is, and I assume this wasn't in the original Nintendo 64 one, but maybe, but I don't think so, is that if you die, instead of sending you back to the beginning of the level, you can effectively just rewind your playthrough up to a point where you would like to be.
That is not in the Nintendo.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but I've never
played
it.
That's a classic... new port thing that they've started doing.
Yeah.
Lots of games have this. Yeah.
But I like it because Duke Nukem is, and this seems crazy, but it can be very tough sometimes because I don't know if it was really made with fairness in mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just made with coolness in mind.
Coolness exactly. And hooters.
So, yeah, exactly. So often you'll die in a very annoying way. And so just being able to be like, well, let me try that section specifically again in a different way.
Or like, where did I cook it? There. Yeah.
All right.
No, I've been further back.
I've been further back.
An example is like all of the Nintendo online. So the NES online and the Super, like the SNES. SNES. I don't know why.
SNES, I
picked the weird way to say it.
You did.
Anyway, all of those games have the rewind feature as well. Mario jump in the hole? Mm-mm, jump out of the hole. No, sir.
So the other power-ups you can get is you can get to... sometimes you go in sewers and the sewer water hurts you. You get protective boots. Although, at one point, I picked up a power-up which was just called boots. And I don't know what that was about. Because it wasn't...
Does it enhance your kicking?
No. I thought it might, because there's protective boots,
uh-huh.
but I swear I just picked up boots. I don't know. Anyway, the maps are...
Did the boots just give you health? Because boots in Doom give you health. Or armor, I should say, not health.
Oh, they might have done, actually. That's a good point. So they're...
This idiot not paying attention to the game he's playing.
Yeah,
never does.
What else
why
new?
Would he?
Yeah. So...
you're also, like, just daydreaming about ants or something.
Yeah. How do they get in that hole? How do they get out of that hole once they're in?
If I ate an ant, could it feasibly crawl through my entire digestive system?
If I ate the queen ant, could I become an ant colony? Would they live in my guts and shit?
I reckon they would.
If you I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Yes.
How do you eat something when you're dead, Joel Zammit?
Well, it would crawl in his mouth.
No, I eat it, then die.
Oh, this tastes so yuck, I'm going to be sick or die.
Yeah. Well, it was die in the end.
Yeah.
The maps are very confusing. They're very hard to navigate, or the levels are.
Yep.
It has a wire map like Turok 2 does.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was just like the norm for a Nintendo 64 FPS. Equally confusing.
Yep.
But you can make the map better. So it's up on the D-pad, gives you the wire map. Uh-huh. Up again gives you like a weird top-down colored-in version of the map.
Yep.
So it kind of makes it a bit easier to navigate, but also not really.
Yep.
Duke, also, whenever you die and you rewind, he says stuff like, this is really starting to piss me off, which is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great to say that about dying.
Yeah.
When you shoot a pig cop, sometimes he'll say, eat shit and die.
That's cool.
Not enough games have the protagonist revel in the, like, in the murder of the enemies of the game.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely loving it.
It's really? Because this review sounds quite negative.
It shouldn't be. I'm having a great time.
You've only mentioned things that have annoyed you.
Well, it's just like Turok 2 in terms of gameplay, basically. It's just the only part that's a little bit more frustrating is that the enemies are sprites as opposed to 3D models, which means that hitting them can be frustrating sometimes. But the levels are a little bit more, even though they're not more interesting conceptually, they're a little bit more fun to navigate for some reason.
Yeah.
I found Turok 2's levels, as much as I love them and adore them, would occasionally just, I don't know, be a bit dark and a bit like, full of enemies, like it would be more about killing waves of enemies rather than just like one or two pig cops or whatever. Yep. So I think I prefer the level design of Turok. Duke Nukem also way more interactive in weird ways that like I wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like being able to piss in a toilet, stuff like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a one weird mechanic where sometimes you can see like security cameras and you can look through them and see other parts of the level. Don't know what it's for, but there it is.
Was there a multiplayer option?
Yes, this is a great thing about Duke Nukem. And hey, boys, this next time we're streaming Thumb Cramps from the Sandspence Radio Twitch account, twitch.tv/Sandspence Radio, mm-hmm. we should be playing Duke Nukem World Tour co-op, because you can play the whole game co-op, start to end.
Oh my god.
Is that not the best thing you've ever heard?
That's great.
Four Dukes, baby.
Yeah, there's three of us, so I imagine you're controlling two Dukes and doing nothing with either. One's spinning and one's walking in a straight line.
Yeah. Four Dukes, four hollow Dukes, eight Dukes.
Oh my god, Duke squared. So like with the levels as well, it sounds like a thing that should be annoying, but I kind of like it. There'll be stuff like, to progress in one level, I had to go in a jail cell and find, like in The Shawshank Redemption, a poster, and going through that poster let me progress down a tunnel into another level.
Uh-huh.
At the end of level two, the red light district, you're about to get to the exit, and then you're like caged, and the aliens are like, you're gonna fry Duke Nukem. And then at the start of the next level, you're in the electric chair, and if you don't move quick enough, you die.
That is cool.
It was crazy. And I had like no health as well. So I actually don't know if there's any way I could have progressed normally, because what the game has, which I think is really useful, and I think is part of that, is kind of like in the same vein as that rewinding thing, is that you can start any chapter of any episode at any time. So when I was like, I have 3 health that I'm starting this level with, and I immediately get electric chaired.
Yeah.
I guess back in the Nintendo 64 days, I'd be like, well, I'm never finishing Duke Nukem. In this, I could be like, exit out, new game, start from that one again, and get out of the electric chair.
So you get a shock, and then you just get out of the chair.
Yeah. So you take a little bit of health, but you're fine. And then you can press some buttons and get behind the electric chair, and there's a bunch of secrets there and stuff. Ooh. Again, I've not like power ups.
Some of those
health.
Electric chair secrets.
Yeah. I hope that you will get some more interesting weapons. It seems like the kind of game that should have crazy weapons in it. But so far I've just had a pistol, a shotgun, a RPG, and a machine gun thing, and kicking. So
surely there'll be some kind of like laser or something.
Surely there'll be like a boob laser, you know?
There actually might be a weapon that turns people into women.
Yeah, I think that's it wouldn't shock me,
like,
frankly.
Like turns them into, like, I think because in Duke Nukem they're just called babes.
Yeah. So it turns aliens into babes.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, for sure. One thing that I really like is, so you can pick kicking as a weapon, right? Like you can cycle through your weapons and one of them is kicking. But also if you press R3, you can just kick as like a melee. But every time you do, it says mighty foot engaged. Don't know what that's about.
Hell yeah.
It's just a lot to love about it. I think it's like, it's severely messed up in concept. You know what I mean? Like you play it and you're like, none of this is okay. But it's also such a fun little window back into what was cool in the 1990s. And I think I appreciate it on that level quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, look, it was an interesting time.
It's so earnestly stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's so, there's such little self-awareness in the gameplay, in the story, that I think it makes it just such a blast to play. I wouldn't say it's like a turn your brain off game, because you kind of have to turn your brain on to be like, what am I doing and where am I meant to go?
Yep.
But I've had to look up stuff a couple of times, which classic. Is crazy for Duke Nukem, but nah, there but it is.
Very classic for you. Yeah, you exactly. are dumb.
I'm a big moron, a loathed fool.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say, playing games from this era, because it's what I like to call, and I've never called it this before, the instruction booklet era.
Yes, very true.
Which is that all games had like quite detailed instruction booklets, in the especially Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 1 era. Where there's a lot of games where if you haven't read that instruction book,
you got no idea what to do. And there's no tutorial.
Yeah,
they just jump, dump you in, and they're like, good luck, Duke.
Because I won't talk about it today because I haven't played it enough, but I jumped into Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
And without knowing, because again, it just like starts, but it's not simple enough where without me knowing how to play it, I picked it up.
Yeah.
It's not World 1-1 of Mario.
No. Mm.
But also, there's no tutorial, so I was like,
"Yes, you guess it's not holding my hand." I'll figure out what I'm gonna do.
Where I guess if I read the instruction booklet, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, sweet."
Well, I might know what the Holoduke does.
Yeah,
it would probably say that in the instruction booklet. Yeah, but unfortunately, it's just a thing I ignore.
Yeah,
there's also so many other Duke Nukem games available. I recently was on an episode of All the Small Games with Andrew Levins, much beloved, as I am a loathed fool.
Yes,
a beloved genius.
Yes,
and on that we went through all of it. Go listen to it. We went through all of the various Duke Nukem games. There's a lot. There's a game for the Duke Nukem Mobile. Look up right now because I can't remember the name of it. What was Duke Nukem Mobile for? What do you think? What did you play Duke Nukem Mobile
N-Gage.
On?
N-Gage.
No.
Nokia.
No.
Nintendo DS.
No.
PlayStation.
You won't know what people meant to play it on.
Did you cover the DLC for this game that's called Duke Caribbean, Life's a Beach?
I did not. I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
Short levels in summer of 2005. What?
Can you find
Speak up.
It?
I'm reading.
It should just say for the whatever the hell it was. Some cuckoo bananas coconut goddamn console.
Nuka.
You mean the Motorola? T720, the LGE VX4400.
Or like the Stargo Arcadia or something.
Okay.
I found it by just going to the Duke Nukem, then going scroll on Wikipedia, then scrolling down to the Duke Nukem games and Duke Nukem Mobile, and it was like for the Stargo Arcadia or something bonkers.
For the Tapwave Zodiac?
The Tapwave Zodiac! You play it on the Tapwave Zodiac.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
What
the
is
Tapwave
the
Zodiac? Tapwave Zodiac? It looks like this.
The Tapwave goddamn Zodiac.
The Tapwave Zodiac, Joel Zammit.
The console, everybody's favorite video game console from 1981 to now.
The release date of the 1st of November 2003 and the discontinued date of July 31st, 2005.
That is brief.
Oh, yeah, I just skimmed over that. Wow.
You're
yeah,
like, well, that's gibberish.
For the Tapwave Zodiac sounds like a game company.
Yep. For the Tapwave Zodiac.
Okay.
I love that. Anyway.
It was designed to be a high-performance mobile entertainment system.
Yeah.
Centered on video games, music, photos, and video for... And then it cuts off.
Yeah, that's
Zodiac exclusive titles include Altered Beast.
18 to 34-year-olds.
Classic.
Yeah, okay.
Animated Dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Classic game.
You got Golden Axe.
Yeah.
Huh. You got Tots and Togs.
Okay.
Anyway. What is on the Switch 64? A lot of games? Maybe
Zap them.
Very few. No? Very few Nintendo 64. It's literally Turok 1, Turok 2, Pod Racer, Duke Nukem, and Doom 64.
And that's it?
It's not like the NES and the Super Nintendo online thing. These are just separate games that are on the eShop.
Tragically. Yeah. I mean, the dream, obviously, would be for Nintendo to release some kind of virtual console for the Nintendo 64. Yeah. That would be incredible.
Yes.
I would never stop playing games. That's game of the year up until 2030. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, yeah, look, definitely game of the year. I'm loving it.
You had so many problems with it. Yeah. This is like, if you said, three thumbs, I would be like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. But instead you're saying 10 thumbs.
10 thumbs, game of the year.
Yeah.
Is this just so that I can force Andrew Levins to play it? Possibly. Am I using my power for evil? Definitely.
Well, his game of the year could potentially be a Nier game, so you could be in trouble.
Well, maybe this what has started as a friendly, you know, exchange of games of the year has become a war.
Yeah. It's also funny if he picks a PS5 game, because he has a PS5.
I gotta get a PS5.
Damn it.
At the expense of making him play Duke Nukem, you have to shell out $750 plus however much the game is.
Well, look, let's say Duke Nukem is not...
It's in contention.
For game of the year. It's in the top five possibilities. And that's allowing for four other games.
Yeah, it's good because at the moment it's probably like Croco Block Knockers.
Puss. Puss.
Levins has played Puss.
Did he like it?
Yeah. Weird. It seems like the type of game that I will like too.
Yeah, I got it for the name.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We all know. Yeah. Everyone on earth knows. Yeah, you got it for the name.
We know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. $15 to laugh at Puss.
Yeah. Pretty good.
You laughed at that for free. Here we are.
We laughed at it for free.
Yeah, that's true.
Us in the audience.
Well, I paid for it so you could laugh at it.
Thank you. Well, what are you playing, JD?
Well, I've been playing, as I just mentioned, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but I haven't played enough. Like, I've only put, like, 30 minutes into the game, which is absolutely not even...
Yeah, that's up.
Mm.
It's not a long game, apparently, because when I started, I was like, all right, let's... Because I know it's, like, a... it's the original part of the...
what are you saying?
Metroidvania.
It's the
Metroidvania.
True.
So, yeah, because it's Super Metroid, Castlevania Symphony of the Night... And Wario Land 3, that all come together
to make a Metroidvania.
So I was like, I know that these type of games can be anywhere between like Gata Roboto was like 3 hours.
Very quick.
Hollow Knight, which was like 60 hours.
Yeah,
and I was
sure.
like, before I commit, let's double check. It's only like a 10-hour-ish game.
That's not too bad at all, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I'm having a good time. I've only played it once for half an hour, so we won't worry about that.
Throw it away.
What we will talk about is a game that everyone loved when it came out, and I didn't play it until recently.
Mm.
And I don't know if it holds up or if it's fun, but it's definitely happening, and that is A Way Out.
The
PlayStation 4.
Oh, yep.
The plot is you got Vincent and you got...
D'Onofrio.
D.
Yeah.
Diesel.
Vincent Diesel.
It's Vincent and
Richter.
Some other fella.
Yeah.
Richter. See you at the party, Richter.
Yeah.
Total Recall.
Okay.
1990. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Get your ass to Mars.
Okay, I will.
Yeah,
good. great movie. So basically it's Vincent and the other guy whose name I've forgotten. They're in jail. They've both been wronged by the same man, and they decide that they can't spend their life in jail. So they're going to break out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a couch co-op game.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have to work together to break out of prison. I've been playing it with enemy of the show, Hayden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Your arch nemesis.
My arch nemesis. Yeah. Someone whom I wish nothing but the worst towards.
Yeah.
Hayden, if you're listening to this, I hope you're having the worst day.
Yeah, for sure. Sending him bad vibes. Bad vibes forever. Yeah.
Nothing if anyone can hear this right now, we're all giving Hayden the finger.
Yeah. If you can, wherever you are, in the bus, in the bath, whatever, just do the finger.
Yeah.
Obviously not if you're on the bus. That make
do
it
it
obvious.
Into your phone.
Yeah, do it into your phone. Yep. And those bad vibes, they'll trickle their way down to Hayden. And wherever he is, he'll be like, oh.
Yeah. But yeah, Way Out, it's an interesting concept. But I think that since the game came out and now.
Yeah.
Other games have done it better.
Oh, okay.
But I do like it. It's just,
What games have done it better?
No. Just like stuff like the, what are they called?
I don't know.
There's the PS5, there's a PS5 game at the moment called, like, It Takes Two, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
People have called it, like, the...
The Marriage Counseling Simulator. Looks great. That game looks so
I really
want
to play that, but alas, I don't have a PS5.
Yeah. If only we knew someone that had one. Andrew Levins.
Bring it down.
I'm using my PS5 to play PS1 ports, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Too bad.
No, and also, we were together.
Yeah, that game where like one of you's trapped in like a castle and it's in the snow.
You got to work together. When she guessed it on this, spoke about it.
Yeah,
and I'm watching gameplay of both of those games that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think that has taken this, but better. But if you like story driven games, on top of playing with a friend, then A Way Out is great. But I think what it's trying to do. and the way that I play games co-op doesn't mesh well with the fact that there's like a...
It's
like
crazy thinking about the fact that you're playing that with Hayden.
Yeah.
To think about your, what's it called, little guys?
Avatars?
And the little guys, it's a game, little guys pulling on each other.
Oh, right, Human Fall Flat.
Human Fall Flat. Think about the way you guys played Human Fall Flat.
Yeah.
And then imagining you both trying to... Have you gotten past any of it?
Yeah, we're we got out of... it's a prison escape simulator, but what happens is like simulator. You break out of... So basically it's like two fellas that meet in prison. It's one of the fellas' first day in prison.
Yeah.
Vinny and...
Richter. We established
it. You're not going to get it. And it's
Richter.
It's like when we've given a robot a paradox. You're never going to be able to stop till you figure it out.
It's someone's first day in prison. The other person's been there for a while. They've both been run by the same guy. So you get a plan, and like what slowly happens is you have to like work together to do certain things. So for instance, the first thing to escape out of prison is you have to like, chisel away a hole behind the toilet so you can get into the plumbing. And the way they do it is like there's guards doing watch, but your cells are next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's got to be on the lookout and like stop chiseling because the guard's coming back and whatever. So communication in real life also reflects. And then after that, you get to a further point. You're like, oh no, we need sheets so we can escape. So then you have to break back into prison. Do like a laundry run, basically.
Laundry simulator. All right.
Yeah. So the plot, look, the first, I imagine it's probably about the first half of the game.
Yeah.
So we got to the point where you get out of prison.
Yeah.
They realize you've escaped, but then there's kind of like a flash forward to you on a plane.
Oh, okay.
Have you guys have played this? Right?
I've gotten to the flash forward. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we stopped. Yeah. As okay. Well. But I'll keep playing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The characters keep like hitting like a dead end and then having to go back to prison and then get the item they need to further break out of prison.
Okay.
Which is crazy because
it's a very funny concept. Yeah. We're out of prison. Oh, we need to
go back. Gotta go back.
Well, because like they're still around in the prison. It's more like, okay, there's a
stage
tunnel
of prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's also funny because like, okay, we disappear from our cells one night. Yeah. Everyone's probably like, they broke out, but instead the next day we're in the laundry room. They're like, weren't you missing from your shelves?
No, I wasn't at all.
But I really like a game that really emphasizes cooperative play.
Yeah.
Like that it doesn't feel like an afterthought. Like it's baked into the kind of game it
is. Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff like, okay, for this thing, one of you needs to distract this guard at this time while the other person does this exact thing.
It's such a crazy thing because, you know, being able to play a game cooperatively has been around for such a long time. But it feels very rare for any developer to make it the gameplay.
Yeah.
Like the actual, the point of the game. Yeah. You know?
And I was worried that it was just going to be constantly this because all of the cooperative stuff ends up being like almost like quick time events. Hold R2 and this person's going to press R2. But then the like police officers discover you're escaping from jail and then it turns into more of like a action-y game. Like you're not like shooting your way out of prison, but like you're running away from police. You got to sneak up on them and do like silent takedowns.
Oh, kind of
like
a
Batman.
Yeah.
And that part was cool because I was like, okay, sweet. So now I know that the gameplay is going to at least be varied. But there's a big but. I don't care about the story at all.
Oh, yeah. Speaking my language. Okay. Yeah.
I get it. And I don't know if it's because, and Hayden, if you're listening, pretend you don't hear this part. I'm pretty sure I know how the game ends. And I wonder if that's why.
Okay.
Which I'm excited to do with Hayden. Because
maybe things are no longer as cooperative.
Things right at the end aren't super cooperative.
Well.
So that part's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It just feels like I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I get it. But I don't know if the actual gameplay I'm having fun with, I'm having more fun being annoying with Hayden.
Yeah.
So at one point, we're like running along the underside of a bridge and Hayden was like, I bet I fall off. And I was like, no, I bet I fall off first. And then we're both trying to fall off the bridge.
That's great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But we couldn't fall off the bridge, which was sad.
If it was a different kind of story, do you reckon you'd be more interested?
I don't know. It's weird. I think it was just like, I think I would care more about the story if it was moving slightly faster.
It did feel slow. No, I remember that playing it. I was like, yeah, I get it.
I think it's also because like you get a lot of story. Then there's like some gameplay happens. You get a lot more story.
Yeah.
But then it's like you break out of prison a bit. You go back. You break out of prison a bit. You go back. You break out of prison. You go back. And you're like, okay, sweet. The story is not moving in this time. But then there's like another big story dump. So yeah,
pacing stands off.
Yeah,
the pacing is definitely off, and the gameplay isn't varied enough at first.
Yeah, okay.
Because like they do like kind of like you're in the prison yard and you can like wander around. You got a lot of freedom, and then there's like a 2 hour chunk of the game where it's just a lot of like press R2. Both of you are holding R2. Good. Well done.
Yeah.
You did.
Press square. Yep. Okay. Cool.
If you mess up, it like you got to go back and try again. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think it would make it better if you messed up the game changed? So like the story continued on even though you'd messed up or whatever?
A lot of the thing is like if you mess something up, it's like either an immediate game over or
you get a chance to like save it.
Yeah. So for instance, there's one part where you're climbing up a wall back to back.
Yeah.
You've both got to press a button in time.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone misses it, so it's annoying. Well, it's not annoying. It's funny because this is something that I think the game does. This part of the game, I think they've done well is, so it's a rhythm thing and you've got to press it in time. But if one player misses and the other one hits it, that immediately puts a player that misses it on the off foot. But if you both miss it, neither player moves. So.
Okay.
If someone's missing constantly and the other person's nailing it constantly, really the person that's nailing it constantly is just equally as to blame.
Yeah, yeah. Because
if you are on this, like, if you're like, okay, cool, they're only hitting one in every two because they're bad at this game, Hayden. Yeah. then maybe the Chad gamer, Jel Dusha, should know that.
Yeah,
just keep nailing it and getting frustrated that the person he's playing with sucks so much at this video game.
They genuinely want you to be in sync when they do it rather than just like, which that's nice. That's a nice little variation. Yeah,
the way the back-to-back thing happens is if you miss enough, so what if you miss one, your player stands still, but the other one who nails it takes a step up. So then you're like off balance. And then if that happens again, the one at the bottom falls off.
Yeah, yeah.
And but then clearly then you would fall.
Yeah, you both fall.
That's how gravity works.
Correct.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
But then there's other stuff. A lot of the other stuff is if you fail, police are like, hey, you! Yeah. And there's a cutscene of them just shining a torch and the person being like, oh!
That would be very frustrating because you're like, all I have to do is press R2. And I didn't press R2 right. And now I've got to press. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
So, like, it's fun, and maybe, potentially in the future, you can be like, wow, I wish I got to see what Joel and Hayden could possibly be talking about. Mm. Well, I got some great news, because we've been playing this in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
I don't have a release date yet, but I know that it will be Sans Pants Let's Play going up on our YouTube channel in the future.
Check that's good.
Yeah. But I don't know when, and we haven't finished the game yet, presumably.
I don't know when. I don't know why. I don't even know how.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
But one day.
One big plus.
Happen. Yeah.
At the start of the game, the character whose first day in prison it is, gets like hosed down and whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yet a rare dick and nuts shot in a video game.
Oh my God. Surely that's at least one thumb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the
dick
and nuts.
Yeah. It's probably like a four thumb game. It's one of those things where I'm like, oh, this is cool. But
it's like, it's cool with like a little caveat.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's cool. If I played it when it first came out, I'd be like, whoa!
Yeah, but you've just seen it.
Which a lot of people have done.
Yeah, yeah.
Or did do. But then I think because I knew a little bit about the game and have seen other stuff, I'm like,
Yeah.
Also, I think that, like, say it was two people that play the same type of video games and are both very invested in stories and similar stuff. So, like, if I was playing this with someone that, like, if I loved GTA and the person I was playing with loved GTA, but, like, the story of GTA we were really invested in, Franklin from GTA 5 or whatever, I'd probably be like, oh yeah, this is tense.
This is, what's going on?
But because it's two buffoons, one very good at video games, the other one
terrible at them,
has recently turned 19.
Yeah.
And therefore doesn't know even how to hold a controller.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what Crash Bandicoot looks like.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Lots of mouth.
Yeah. it's like, we're having fun, but it's mostly not fun because of the game. Yeah. It's at the game's expense.
Yeah.
I think if the people who wrote the story of the game
watch our Let's Play, that's like, upsetting.
Yeah, why have they done this? Yeah. Stop trying to jump off the bridge.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if you play It Takes Two or whatever the marriage.
Sounds better.
Yeah, I think that looks... Again, you're right. It's the same idea. It's like you've got to work together to do something. It's just like... It's a little bit more fun, maybe, which is great.
And I feel like because they're calling it like a marriage counsel simulator and what... Well, I don't know if they are.
People are.
But we are.
Yeah.
It feels like that it will encourage more like messing around and being annoying to each other.
I think
yelling.
So, yeah. And it's like a little less grounded so you can, you know...
Because this doesn't feel like yelling because the characters on screen are getting along.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, as in, yeah, like, yeah, they're yeah, like, yeah, we yeah. need to work together. Like, yeah, of course. Where in real life, we're like, we're going to work together. It's like, I'm going to purposely do this role just to get some frustration out of you for a bit.
I'm
going to
upset you. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So there's like a bit of a, and it's definitely like, it's not the game's fault that we're not taking you seriously. But it is also a bit the game's fault.
Yeah.
So, four thumbs.
Hell
four
yeah,
thumbs.
Shift that blame.
Four thumbs. Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
It's like three thumbs and a knock to four thumbs. There was definitely a point, like after probably like the first hour, I was like, wow, I really hope this game gets fun. But then it sort of did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But then it got more fun when we just before we stopped playing last. So
maybe it'll end up five thumbs. Maybe. Who can say? Maybe it'll be
I
a game
really,
of the year.
I really, really don't think so.
Okay. Maybe you'll be a Gotti.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll clock it.
Yeah.
I have to clock it. Contractually, I'm going to have to clock
it.
That's true.
You've made that deal with Hayden.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, we get to clock this game, or we have to clock each other in the head.
With hammers. Yeah.
With hammers. Hammers.
Mm. What about you, Jay-Z? What have you been playing?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't been playing anything.
Oh.
And in fact, I've been annoyed that I haven't been able to play anything because a game franchise that I love and adore has recently come out in one big bundle.
Oh, my God.
The Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And I personally don't have the time to put into this game to justify even purchasing it now.
That sucks.
Because I know that this game is anywhere between, like, I couldn't even find on howlongtobeat.com. I was like, how long is this game, genuinely? The Mass Effect trilogy that I love and have already played before, and I think Mass Effect 2, at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only information I have is the Mass Effect trilogy that was released a while back, and it's got 78 to 111 hours.
You're not doing that.
111 hours.
You'd be lucky to finish one.
Right? Like, and these are games that I adore and love and would love to replay them, especially now that they've been remastered in new graphics, adding all the DLC that back when I was a stupid gamer, so not that long ago.
Two to three minutes ago.
Really, just currently.
Yeah.
And like all these DLC that I didn't even know existed.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, man, that would have been great to do. I'm one of those idiot gamers. When I finished Mass Effect 3, before before whoever made them, BioWare, before they were like, we're sorry, we're caving into everybody complaining about the ending, so let's add some more. I did the endings that they intended, and I loved them. And I was like, that was beautiful, and I had a good time with it.
And
but
now,
everyone was crying and being piss babies about it.
Wusses.
So then BioWare were like, all right, we'll give in to the little shits.
Yeah.
And they did. And I was like, well, fine.
Cowardly.
I watched the new endings. I was like, okay, they're a little better, I guess.
Okay.
That's fair.
You did fix it, let's be honest.
But I still like the originals.
How long does it take to beat just Mass Effect 1?
Because I read an article on, I think it would have been www.kotaku.com.au that said, Mass Effect 1, I think, has aged significantly worse than Mass Effect 2. But now in the Legendary Edition, Mass Effect 1 is just as good as 2.
Oh.
So the thing is, when I was first got my little Xbox, I was being like, oh, I've heard this game series is great. This is when, like, I think 2 was just coming out.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to order them online. I'll get Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2. It's great. Mass Effect 2 came first. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just play that first.
Yeah,
just a little bit of that.
And then I got hooked and I loved it. I enjoyed it so much. And I was like, I was a good boy. A Paragon guy, and I was like, he's doing good. And then I was like, well, now that I got the original, what if I just play a piece of shit? What if I go Renegade?
Mm.
And I love Renegade playthrough. I played a sniper, had such a great time.
Beautiful.
And I played Mass Effect, and then I kept going to that, and I continued that character all throughout, had such a great time. And Mass Effect 2 is by far one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
And Mass Effect, I tried to go back and play Mass Effect 1.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a slog.
Yeah.
It is a slog. It's a slog of a game.
There are so many things
where it's like, I love the game, but there is so much going on there.
Yeah.
And so if they've now revamped it, made it unmissable, made it good, and I want to experience that, but I don't have, you know, Mass Effect apparently, 17 hours, the original Mass Effect. That's just the main story. Main story and extra, 28 and a half hours.
That's heaps.
This has all the extras. It's going to be so long. What?
That's almost like a full work week.
Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
No, it's one day off. It's a full 4-day work week.
So like, when am I going to find a time?
The only time you're ever going to be able to complete Mass Effect, even just Mass Effect, is if you treat yourself to a holiday and waste the holiday.
Right?
Well, maybe. It's the best holiday you've ever had.
Joel Zammit's game or holiday. Maybe that's...
Maybe I give up sleeping.
Yeah.
What if you just, for a week, tell everyone in the company that you're dead?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Joel Zammit has tragically died. Let us mourn for a week and you just play Mass Effect and then you'd be like, I got better.
I'd be like, that makes sense. That checks out.
But as someone who had a PS5 for a week to 2 weeks or whatever, before I got to play it. I understand.
Yeah.
There's also PS5 games that I want to buy, but I'm like, no, Joel. finish Spider-Man because you will buy a new game and then not play Spider-Man.
Or the new game.
You won't do either. You'll just be like, yep, mission accomplished. Buying something is not accomplishing shit.
Resident Evil Village is out. It's out. I'm a Resident Evil boy. Resident Evil 7 was one of my favorite games I've ever played. And I've heard Resident Evil Village isn't even that long, which makes it all the more appealing.
Right?
And yet, when?
I've heard that it's very similar. It's like if Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil 4 were the same game, which is insane to me.
But when am I going to sit down and play it? Never.
Tomorrow? The next day?
No.
Take a day off.
Yeah. Okay.
Weekends? You know, I did this weekend. I went shopping.
Yeah.
I went shopping for like things I had to buy for the cats I have. I had to go all across Melbourne to try and find them a bloody litter tray.
Yeah. Do you know what I did last weekend?
What?
Worked.
Absolute bullshit.
And then, you know, that was one day. One day I had to go and we spent all like, the time going to different Kmarts because one Kmart was like, we have these things. It didn't. It lied to us. And the second store didn't even have them anyway. Had to go to three separate Kmarts.
That's
three
too many
separate Kmarts. That was
sucks.
My one day. Gone.
How many Kmarts
and then you
know
what I did on Sunday? You know what I did on Sunday?
Ten. What? That's a lot.
Taxes. I had to do bloody taxes on Sunday.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
The Lord's Day.
Right? Yeah, the day of rest.
Those are the type of sins that Jesus Christ died for.
I get it.
He hated the tax man.
He was not happy with Mr. Tax. No.
So when am I going to talk?
I don't know, dude. I don't know how.
You know how long Resident Evil Village apparently takes to finish?
How long?
9 hours.
Jeez, that's so
That's so easy.
God.
Right?
And it looks so cool. There's a puppet
cool.
bad guy.
Can you see how long to beat for Returnal?
Can I quit for a week?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Returnal? 16 and a half hours. I read that as 161 hours.
Yeah, 16 and a half hours. Okay, and can you just also check Nier?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Replicant?
Replicant.
Yeah.
That'd be 20 plus.
Why did I know that?
I don't know.
Am I okay?
Yeah.
Twenty and a half hours.
Yeah, that makes
20
sense.
20 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Is it Nier Replicant or Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139?
And don't forget that ends in a colon. Ellipses.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's the 1.21. Oh, then 18 and a half hours.
Hey, they made
shaved
it
off two.
They made
However, main and extra is 40 and a half.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, because the near game, sometimes you're like, oh, I'll start a new game plus, but it's actually a different game, which is a very funny trick.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe. Hey, games developers, stop putting so much game in your game.
Yeah.
Stop it.
A little bit of game. Just an hour of game.
Come on.
That's all I need.
Make it one level of Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
You think the reason I love Duke Nukem is because it's so quick?
Duke Nukem World Tour?
Yeah. How long?
Oh, no. If it's very long, I'm in trouble.
What if it's longer than Resident Evil Village and you have committed
and
to
I've
Duke
committed
Nukem?
And I've committed to Duke Nukem World Tour.
Duke Nukem World Tour? 7 hours.
7 hours. Just under.
Oh.
I couldn't play Village, though.
Man. Yeah. You could be.
I could be. But I got to play Village. I don't have a good computer anymore. I can't play it on my laptop. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to come in here just to play Resident Evil Village. That's sad.
Jackson, shouldn't you go home and go to bed?
No.
Resident Evil Village.
I got to fight this puppet. I'm sorry. How many thumbs for...
Wanting a game but not buying the game because you've got no time to play that game.
Like zero thumbs. I hate it. It's not fun.
It sucks.
I miss when I was a wee teenager and all I had to do was ignore my homework.
I know. Remember being like 15, come home from school. You throw your bag with its moldy apples or whatever in the corner of the room. You boot up your PS2.
Your room stinks. It smells the worst. It
smells of moldy apples and rotting cockroaches.
Mom is yelling at you. Shush, Mom. I got to play Spider-Man 2 for the PS2.
Yeah.
Jackson Bailey, I taught you to shower better than this. You stink. Your belly's so clean, every other aspect of you is filthy.
What are you going to do about it? Clean me or get out. And then you play Spider-Man 2 until 1 a.m.?
Till 1 a.m. You break because your mum was like, here's your spaghetti bolognese that I made from scratch because I love you.
Exactly.
My son give you a kiss on the forehead. She's like, thank you, here's your delicious meal. You don't even thank her. You don't even look at her. Eat your spaghetti bolognese while you're playing Spider-Man realm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe you break at 6 o'clock to watch The Simpsons, and then you're back, and that's your night.
That's your night. That's it.
And then you go to sleep, and you got to go to school tomorrow and not pay attention.
I'm playing Mass Effect, and I'm like, where's my delicious spaghetti bolognese?
Yeah.
My wife's like, well, you didn't make it, you idiot, and I'm not making it for you.
You can go to hell.
You can go to hell.
Don't you have taxes to do?
And I'm like,
The cats are screaming. They got no food or things to shit in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks. One of the cats has started to piss right next to the litter box.
No.
Why? Why is she doing that? Well, I don't know. I had to buy puppy pads to try and get. I had to do that to put it under the litter box because she keeps pissing in the corner. Why?
Negative 30 thumbs for being 30.
Yeah. Not good.
Oh, man.
I don't like it.
Well, on that dour note,
here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thanks, sponsors.
Unless the advertisement was like, hey, turn 30.
Things get better when you age. They don't.
Out there saying dirty 30s?
Yeah.
My 30s have been clean as hell. Yeah.
You're not 30 yet.
I'm basically 30.
You're not 30 yet. Things could get dirty for you in 6 months. Oh,
that's true. That's exciting.
Mm. Yeah, you could have a, I'm 30. My 30s have not been dirt.
Not having dirty 30s?
No, Zammit,
dirty 30s?
Define dirty.
Filthy.
Yeah. Well, you clean up cat piss a lot.
There's a lot more cat piss and shit in my life than there used to be.
Yeah, I always assumed that dirty 30s referred to a sexual filth rather than a sort of more basic.
No, this is mostly just our filth. Like, I got to clean the kitchen like every day.
You got a big kitchen.
That is such a cruel trick that you can never stop doing the dishes.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I take a break for a day, it just piles up.
You gotta keep
There's
doing.
Things here's, that I apparently can't put in the dishwasher. You know how messed up that is?
Here's a
knives! Don't put them in the dishwasher. Yeah, why
they
not?
They get dull. I cut my thumb on a knife yesterday.
Wait, why are you putting a knife in the dishwasher?
No, you can't.
Yeah, you
why
can't.
Why not?
It dulls them.
Ah.
That's why your knives are so dull.
Yeah. No, it's not, because I don't have a dishwasher.
Yeah, me neither.
No,
I like doing the dishes. Yeah. Doing the dishes, five thumbs.
Oh, okay, hey. You guess what you can do today?
I'm not doing yours.
Oh,
I like doing my
dishes.
You
said you like doing them.
Yeah, I left out the my.
Your sink area in the kitchen, it's a beautiful sink.
Yeah.
But there's not enough space to do the... because there's no dish rack. Because I feel like when doing the dishes at your house, it's stressful.
Yeah. There is a dish rack, but guess what's on there?
Dishes?
Yeah,
that makes
sense. That I haven't bothered to put away yet.
Yeah, fair call.
Because I got that brain thing where I'm like, I did the dishes. Have you put them away? Hmm? Hmm?
No. Pardon? No, I'm doing my taxes.
That's your job that I haven't told you to do. Or even asked.
Well...
Maybe we can calm our beating hearts with some emails.
Yeah, these people have emailed us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. And this starts from Thomas. Attention, Jackson and Zammit.
Oh my God.
Hello.
Called out.
What up?
What are your favorite gaming snacks and beverages?
Ooh.
Take care, Thomas.
Well, okay, this is complicated. I love to eat Doritos and tzatziki.
Uh-huh.
But obviously it's a bad food to eat while you're gaming because
you need two
hands. Or you need two hands to play a game. Mm. But something about that is the perfect snack for me.
Okay.
That or chocolate bullets, like licorice bullets, because you can put them in your mouth, suck the chocolate off while playing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So that's my ideal gaming snack.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Peanut butter on toast.
Oh, great choice. You have a bite, chew, play the game, drink a milk. Back to
Oh, and a milk.
Oh, peanut butter and milk.
Yes.
Damn.
Here's something that's maybe controversial. I hate eating and drinking. Well, not so much drinking. I hate eating and playing video games.
Oh, yeah.
Because getting a controller filthy.
Oh, yeah, that's
or
bad.
A keyboard and mouse, like, just touching any food and then touching a no.
Not, don't not do here it. For it.
Wash. Eat.
Use a knife and fork.
Mm. What's wrong with that?
Because also I don't like sitting at like on a couch and using a knife and fork. That's crazy. Sit at a table.
I'm more thinking back when I used to play a lot of World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
And I just basically have meals at the computer.
Yeah.
Unhealthy lifestyle. Not good.
No, I reckon it's good. No, but yeah. My perfect gamer snack.
No snack at all.
No snack.
A single can of Coke, no sugar.
What about Skittles?
Yeah.
Nah.
The Skittle color comes off on your fingers.
Even M&M's and stuff. Like,
what about a candy bar like a Mars bar?
Then I'm taking my hand off the gamepad for too long.
What about a bowl of soup? You got a metal straw.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know. I just eat separately to gaming.
No, that's fair.
That's fair.
That's
like, okay. Again, Doritos are good. But what if you had like a party and it's like a bit of like a couchy co-op-y type thing where you're sharing the, you know, moving
I would eat
around.
When I don't have the controller.
Pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pizza, obviously.
Well, actually, go to hell, everything. Yeah, suck it on a pizza.
For a hot gaming night with the
boys?
With the boys?
You've all brought four moldy backpacks.
Yeah.
You've
slammed them into the corner.
You all stink. Yeah. No one has figured out how to shower properly.
Yeah, correct. I am, once again, a 15-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah. You order five pizzas, some Sprite, some Coke.
Then Mountain Dew, baby.
Mountain Dew. Oh, yeah. Sitting down, your stomach feels terrible
because
it's a lot of carbs.
you snap back to reality. You realize you're 30 still. Yeah.
I can't do that.
Pizza.
Yeah.
What time is it? 9 p.m.
Like rice cakes. I like the sour cream and chive flavor. They're pretty good.
I do like those, but again, not while I'm gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody made like a spaghetti bolognese.
What about like chopped up carrot and some hummus?
Oh, that is good.
That is good.
Yeah. Or
again, these are great snacks.
Grapes.
And grapes.
Apple.
Yeah, they're nice.
I feel like having an apple.
Nuts.
Yeah, some nuts. Not too salted, because again, you got to worry about
you
your
gotta,
heart.
Yeah. Pay attention to that. And you know, you have these big plans. Like, it will stay up to like 2 or 3 a.m.
Yeah,
it hits around midnight at a stretch, and you're like,
midnight. Yeah. Midnight. I was gonna say 10, dude.
I can't play this game for this 10. Long.
Call of Duty. I gotta wake up early in the morning. Yeah. Come on now.
I dropped
this.
My
just
phone.
So depressed that he couldn't even pick up his phone.
Thank you for your email, Thomas. I hope that was enlightening.
Yeah. Tzatziki and Doritos is the perfect answer.
It is good.
So this email comes from Sam. Hi, Thumb Cramps boys. How do you feel about in-app purchases and endless DLC? I hate it when a game is ruined by a constant need to buy more lives or a half a dozen pointless in-game currencies. I used to not mind paying for extra content DLC, but it seems like these days even a full-priced 50 quid game, 100 Australian dollars in question marks.
Yeah.
Game wants you to buy another 50 quid worth of DLC to get a full game. I'd somehow get less pissed off if they just charged me 200 quid up front. Love from the UK, Sam.
Well, I was going to say, I don't like buying the in-app purchases. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But the DLC, the only reason I don't like it is because I'm like, well, if I'm an early adopter, I don't get to finish the game. And also, by that time, I've already gone on. So with Mass Effect, with all these DLCs that came out well and truly after
don't worry about it. You never get to play
them. I'm never going to play them. But I'm like, but I would have loved to have played them.
Yeah.
When you were 15 and stunk.
When I was 15 and stunk. Yeah. Oh, my mum giving me spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah, man.
It was never good. She doesn't know how to make a good spaghetti bolognese. So man, she's a terrible cook.
Mine too, yeah. I get sucked into, not like as a condition, like not conditionally, but like I do get sucked.
I don't have a condition where I get sucked into buying
I guess what I mean is that it's got to be only for specific games. I'm in control of it.
I have it under control. It's not a problem.
Sea of Thieves. I spent some real world money to get a pet. I think it was about $5.
You make
Australian.
Me sick.
Yeah. I think I did that twice to get both a monkey and a dog.
I'm glad that at some point I have put one of those pets in a cannon and fired the cannon.
Yeah, I love putting him in a cage for his own good. And I think for Red Dead Online, I bought the Outlaw Pass, which is like an extra, you know, they do this now where it's like, you're leveling up regularly, but also if you spend money, you'll level up quicker on like a different tract. That will give you other bonuses as you level up. So if you're leveling up regularly, every fifth level you might get a little bonus or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you get the Outlaw Pass every level, you get a little bonus. Okay. It's absolutely a scam. Mm. Like, don't get me wrong. And all you're paying for is the feeling of satisfaction when you go up a level and they're like, hey, you got some chocolate bars or whatever for
your
horse.
That's pretty good. I mean, you pay for that little hit of dopamine.
Well, yeah, I know. And that's what, like, I know I'm not getting anything worthwhile
no,
out of
that's
it.
Bad.
Just that little hit of dopamine, you know.
It's good.
You know, because there's nothing else in Red Dead Online to give you that sense of satisfaction,
yeah.
So you kind of got to pay for it if
you
want it.
Yeah. So whatever. You're paying for a service and make you feel good. What's wrong with that, JD?
Yeah.
It's because it's you're being like, thank you for doing that thing that everyone's saying you're doing. It's like gambling.
Oh, yeah. I know.
No, but it's like, by being like, oh, that's smart, you're being like, thank you for doing this trick that everyone knows is bad for us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, because now what else am I going to be doing? Not
I really like
dopamine.
Playing Red Dead Online, but after a while, you get no sense of satisfaction of doing anything. So to keep me playing, I'm like, I'll pay for those little hits of dopamine so that I can keep finding something to do in the world.
Delicious.
Know, other than just wandering around. So
I would spend my entire time in Red Dead Online exclusively trying to kill other players' horses.
Yeah.
That's
You can do that, but there's like 6-7 people to a map sometimes, so you're spending your whole time just wandering around looking for guys.
Yeah, but if
map
I find
is,
one.
Map is big, and they might just shoot you.
Yeah, and then if you find them and you shoot their horse, they might just put themselves on defensive mode, and then you can't attack them.
I can't kill their horse?
Don't think so. Yeah. So you need something to keep you playing,
because otherwise
it's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's such a pretty world that you want to be in it.
No, you don't. I mean, as someone who's like, Red Dead Redemption 2 is in my household. It's not mine.
Yeah.
I could play it any time.
Yeah. No, you're not interested.
I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I've stopped playing Red Dead Online as well. Yeah. But when I did.
Get out.
Yeah.
Stand outside.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Look at a real horse.
Yeah.
Ah,
I don't mind story DLC, but in-app purchases and stuff like that are annoying.
Yeah.
And also don't do DLC that's like, oh, it's a boss challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Shut
that
up.
Sucks. Yeah. Your DLC needs to be new levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or new levels or new characters.
Or a hat.
Yeah. Or a cool hat.
Not a cool hat.
Yeah.
Jack knows.
I get it.
Sam also ends the email by saying, P.S. The Dinosaur Park Trilogy is probably the best podcast ever made. They make me chuckle like a moron while I'm out running.
You're too kind.
And this is, I guess, less kind. Or is kind, but means we've made a negative impact on Sam's life. P.P.S. I've bought so many games since I've started listening to you guys, and I've only played half of them.
That's the class. That's the thumb cramps way.
Yeah.
That's what this whole episode's been about. Mm. That's been the episode's theme.
All right. And to bring us home, we're pulling up to the station, and we got to get off. We got to grab our bags. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
This is from Hamish. Dear Tub Thumpers.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. It's Tub Thumbers.
Oh, if that makes more sense than just calling us Tub Thumpers.
Tub
Thumbers?
Tub Thumbers.
Yeah,
yes.
Presumably, yeah.
I've written this email to ask a question. What game in a series has sucked you off so good that any sequel to that game in the series has felt too different or too simplified for mass consumption?
Oh.
Mine would be The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind. It is an old game, but it has so much depth to all aspects of its gameplay and stories. The following sequels have felt too bland in comparison.
That's a great question.
I guess the Mass Effect series, because I know Andromeda did not do well.
Yeah,
but then that was not just for me.
Outlier. That's one game.
Everybody.
The three good ones, one bad one. That's kind of the opposite.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
played Andromeda and you're like, I love how broken this game is. What do you mean these three are competent?
I think there are games that I've played. So, like, for example, in the Uncharted series, for some reason, Uncharted 2 has the best combat I've found and the most satisfying gunplay. But, like, overall, I think all of the games are good, bar maybe the first
one.
Hamish,
so I'll answer this one for Jackson for you.
Thank
Turok
you.
2, Seeds of Evil. Turok 1
is... Oh, true. And Turok Evolution.
There's too much going on.
Yeah.
Turok 2 is the only good one.
True.
I'm Jackson Bailey.
Thank you. Thank you for answering that for me.
Yeah. You've also got... Oh, what games? I feel like there's definitely some for me.
Yeah. Bound to be.
Yeah, surely. Because I don't play full series pretty much ever, except for Metroid and, like, Zelda.
Well, and again, this probably doesn't count necessarily because I think it's just like personal taste. But I really like Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. Those are like my favorite Pokemon games. And every Pokemon game I've played afterwards, that Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire felt like the best combination of just like stupid Pokemon gameplay, but also like a kind of fun story.
Yeah.
Whereas every other one, like after that, they're like the gods here.
Yeah.
There's a billion guys. And
I
then
like black and white for that reason.
Yeah, it's just
That goes like it's post God, but just like swings back and is like maybe it's not. Yeah, no, it is. It would just be post God, but it swings back. You don't need to worry about that stuff. And also, it's really hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Well, for me, one would be again World of Warcraft: Wrath of the Lich King.
I thought
as an expansion back to that series, that was like great. Like you had the original WoW was kind of really fun and good. Then you had like the Burning Crusade, and it was like it's all right. Like going to Outworld, blah blah. That's a lot of fun time. But then Wrath of the Lich King, I think, is just like to me one of like those flawless expansions. Impacts and like such a tight story that everything that came out after that didn't quite capture that magic.
Yeah.
Like it was basically like this World of War, Wrath of the Lich King was basically just almost a sequel to the Warcraft 3
kind of
era.
Yeah, and
it was just kind of like, that's what I used to, like, what I loved about the Warcraft series, like that kind of lore from Warcraft 3 onwards. And so Wrath of the Lich King really just tied that up. And it felt really well put together. Like it just, because again, with the big bad is Arthas. And so when you're sort of leveling up through the whole like Northern, you're like, his kind of presence is there, is felt, even if he isn't really there. And I thought it was just really just well written, well developed, and just well executed. And I thought like anything after that, though, like I tried to kind of dip my toe back in every now and again. You're like, it just doesn't feel quite the same. Doesn't like, have the same kind of like idea of what they were trying to do.
I find
do.
Occasionally it'll be the sort of thing where as a game series, the second game in the series, say, of like a trilogy, is like where the developers, they've got a bit of success.
Yeah.
They got a bit of money so they can like properly kind of do everything that they wanted to do. And then the third game comes out in the series or whatever
later
on.
They piss and shit themselves.
Yeah, well, you're like, well, it's not as much TLC, it feels like, occasionally. I don't know what.
Too many cogs in the machine.
Yeah, too many chefs in the broth, baby. Yeah.
For a while, probably Resident Evil 4, but the sequels weren't successful and everyone missed Resident Evil 4. So then when they went back and remade Resident Evil 2 and 3, they play similar to 4 again. And then 7, which was like an entirely different series, now they've made 8 or Resident Evil Village, which apparently also ties kind of back into 4. So everyone agreed with me.
Yeah, I was you were right.
Yes, yet again. Yes, again. Yes, Hamish also ends this email by saying, I've also written this email to apologize to Dusha.
Okay.
Sorry, Dusha. A few years ago at a Sydney show, I said, I look forward to seeing you up there before the show, only to find out you were not on stage at all for the show. I don't know why, but this has stuck with me ever since.
That's so funny.
Keep up the great work, Hamish.
Hamish, that's great. That's hilarious.
I understand there would have probably been some confusion if you went to the Sydney show. Assuming this would have been the giant dwarf one.
Yeah, the D&D
on the
one.
D&D is for nerds to him. And you're like, well, Joel Dush is not in this podcast.
Yeah.
But then I'm at the door.
Yeah, so you're like, he's going to. And well, you know why, what we're capable of.
He's like,
It's like, look, it's the other day when I ordered Uber Eats.
Yeah.
And the Uber Eats person, they came at my door and they were like, enjoy your food. And I went, you too.
Maybe they had some
of their
food.
That's a fair thing to say. They will eat food again.
I mean, and also, like, I work at a movie theater. So, like, I get to. Yeah. It comes up online all the
time. Enjoy the film. You too.
Yeah, do you know, that happens to me 15 to 30 times a day.
Yeah.
People think that, because like I've seen people write like on like Facebook meme sharing shit where it's like, I accidentally said YouTube. You know how many people do that? Everyone. And a lot of people aren't even sorry or realize they're saying anything wrong. Don't worry.
There's nothing. Don't think
about that because we're not thinking about you. It's the same with
you're not that important.
It's the same when
for you, you were socially embarrassed. For me, just a Tuesday.
Yeah. You're like, I pity you, Joel Dusha, because you weren't on stage. For me, Hamish, I don't think about you at all. No, but it's the same if people are like self-conscious about going to the movies by themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, people judge me. We don't care.
Yeah.
Go on the movies by yourself. Rules. Have enough at dinner.
I've gone to the time halfway through serving the person. I've stopped thinking about them. I've registered the information I needed.
Here's your popcorn or whatever you ordered. I don't care. Chucked up. Okay.
Enjoy Chucky 6. I would love to go to the zoo by myself. I'm just realizing. That's not an experience I've ever had. And every time I go to the zoo, I'm at the whims of what everyone else wants to see. I can't enjoy the zoo, you know, for myself.
Mm.
Maybe you can't get in the orangutan enclosure and start a fight or whatever.
Start a life.
Find a wife.
Yeah, wow.
Jackson went to the zoo by himself and married an orangutan.
He lives there lucky. Now. We can go see him, but it's I don't want
to. Yeah, frankly, that sounds upsetting. I think that would be very traumatic for me.
We should call the police?
No, I think we should leave him live his best life, but we want no part of it. Yeah. We support his decision, but...
Christ.
God bless. Well... thank you for the emails. And if you want to email us next week or the week after or and between now and the rest of goddamn eternity, yep. You can find us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com or you can tweet us at thumbcrampspod on Twitter.
Do it now.
Yeah. Today's episode has been a zero thumb plus a four thumb plus a 10, 14 thumbs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Minus another 30 for being over
negative
30.
Negative 16 thumbs. Yeah.
Damn.
It's one of them.
In the red.
Yeah, in the red. In the red episodes. Yeah. A real downer.
Yeah, it's a real bummer of an episode of thumb.
This episode, statistically, it just sucked shit.
Yeah. So, look, appreciate it while you can, I guess.
Yeah.
And if you're 30 plus, bad luck. Sucked in. You lived too long.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been 34.
Yeah. Mm. You'll get there soon, Jackson.
You'll get there soon.
My 30s are going to be dirty.
And in the meantime, if you've got thumbs, let us see them. Thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.